I literally have to be on a flight in a couple, maybe like in a little bit, 2 hours or so. And I'm just now recording this podcast or editing it and recording the intro and outro. Basically what I do is I edit it and then I remember all the points that I want to say. I write it down and then I'll, you know, put it in the intro and outro. But I'm on my way to the Delivering Well Summit. Woohoo! So it's Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? Wednesday. So I better hurry up and I haven't even packed. So, but my wife is on top of that right now. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. In this episode, guys, we talk with the amazing, let me see. I have his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 5 business. Brian Laskin. Okay. And he is the founder of Opera DDS. You guys don't know what that is, we'll explain it right now, or I'll explain it right now. Opera DDS, he's also the dentist and founder for Lake Minnetonka Dental. He's also founder of DigitalNitrous.com, Opera VR, TheGetItDoneDay.com, and TalentShip. He is technology, right? All about technology. And a lot of you have asked to interview, or you actually not asked me to interview, but you've asked me about Opera DDS. And so I was so happy. I found him at Voices of Dentistry. He was there at Voices of And I was like, hey, man, you know, people ask about Opera DDS and they want comparisons and things like that. So let's see what it's all about. So I have him on here. He's in this episode. I love his story because he did what basically we all should do. He had a problem and then he created a solution for it, right? Or found a solution. In this episode, we talk about how Opera DDS, the name came from, where did it come from, how Opera DDS came to be. And then we also talk about what is Opera DDS? Is it, you know, just security for your practice management system? Is it online forms or a recall system? Or is it everything? One thing I do like that Opera DDS has is that I know the patients can text you from their website, or I'm sorry, I know the patients can text you from your website, and the whole conversation is stored and documented. So say like I'm the patient, right? Or I'm the new patient and I go onto your website and I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? I wanted to see how much this cost, or I wanted to not see how much this cost. That's not a good example. Just be like, hey, I wanted to know if you guys have an appointment tomorrow, right? You can text that. And whoever is there should be able to, if you guys don't have local med, then you should be able to write back and, you know, tell them, yeah, you know. So anyways, the reason I like that is because they have care text. I mean, they have so much more, right? They're one of the, I think the only app, he said, that is on Apple Watch as well. They have great, Opera DDS provides great communication within the practice too as well. It does so much, but Brian obviously breaks it down for us. I know I probably just named a bunch of really good reasons why Opera DDS is really good, but I want you to also listen to the way he puts it and how he uses it as well, because he uses it for his practices. Beside that, we don't just talk about Opera DDS, guys. We talk about his practice and how he started with an 800 square foot practice, and it is now, to date, an 11 ops and 3-story practice. Okay, it grew tremendously. And he tells us all the ups and downs and everything in between on how that happened. And so guys, I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. Go let Brian know that you heard him on the podcast. And like I said, we're at Voices of Dentistry here, so you might hear noise in the background as well. But here's Brian. Alrighty, we're here with Brian Laskin from the founder of Opera DDS. Brian, how's it going?
Absolutely fantastic.
Awesome, awesome. So tell us a little bit about your past, present, and future, and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's a lot. Past, I went to dental school in Minnesota, which is where I practice today. Mm-hmm. I have a group practice of There's seven associates in one location. We're expanding to multiple locations like in a month.
Oh, wow.
I got interested in technology with Opera DDS, where the first problem I wanted to solve was I wanted to walk in the operatory and know everything that was going on, because we're all about delivering dentistry from the patient's perspective, yeah, which has been phenomenal. Our practice has doubled in the last 2 years. While I've been developing about six different technology products, because I got bit by the bug and realized, hey, if there's a problem that I think we can solve, it helps other dental practices too. And now we just launched a few months ago Opera VR, virtual reality for dental patients. And we have a few more products that are coming out.
The only ones doing VR right now, right?
Yeah. For dental-specific VR, we are the only one. And we actually have our VR experience being used in other applications outside of dentistry. Mm-hmm. But it's all pain and anxiety reduction. Opera VR is specifically geared towards the dental patient. So there's a lot of nuances to that. For example, the patient has no control, because I don't want the patient to have control and have to screw around with the headset, like an iPod, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have full control, and we have post-operative instructional videos. Mm-hmm. So the patient, as you're winding down, you can be, you know, we have a hygienist going over how to floss, or an assistant talking about post-operative oral surgery instructions, whatever. So it's a unique application, like you said, but it's widely researched. There's a ton of research on VR.
Gotcha. So where did, we're going to get into the practice, but where did the name, like Opera DDS?
Good question, too.
Yeah.
People, I think, oftentimes don't ask me that, but they look at me like, why would you call it that?
Yeah, I was wondering.
It's short for operatory. When we first launched Opera DDS. It was a paging system, and it was called Opera Pager, the operatory paging system. As we developed other features like online forms and recall, and there's a bunch of, it's a full communication package. We dropped the pager and added DDS, and too much confusion all the time.
I have
a podcast coming out now, the operatory, that I hope will help that solve that issue, because I called the podcast with the operatory piece, but I don't know if people would kind of get it, but that's the answer.
Yeah, I always thought like Opera DDS, the owner was like Mr. Opera or something like that. Was like the last name.
It was supposed to be it's communication, so like singing, like from the operatory, right? That's where it came from.
Oh, okay.
Makes sense when it's explained to you. The problem is, you don't really want to have something that you have to explain to people, right?
Yeah. But it's all right. We got it. So, what's one idea, tactic, strategy, or procedure that you have used seen increase dental practices' profits?
What started Opera DDS, I still think, is one of the most powerful things in dentistry, mm-hmm. which is intra-office staff team communication.
Okay.
So having the hygienist tee things up mm-hmm. for you, so when you walk in, I say four things when I walk in a room for small to medium cases. You have the greatest hygienist in the world. I completely agree. Do you have any questions? And if you have questions, they just answer those. And would you like to do it today, doing same-day service?
Oh.
So doing dentistry the same day that you discuss it with the patient when they want to, which is most of the time,
mm-hmm.
that's transformed my practice.
That's it. That does what everything. So then how did you come up with Opera DDS then?
Because
of that, or like what was the...
Yeah, so what I just described, you know, I wanted to walk into the operatory and know it's, and be on the same page with the hygienist without seeing the patient requires a lot of calibration, mm-hmm. working with your team, good communication. And basically at the time, this is a few years ago, iPads were just coming out. Oh. And I was complaining to a friend of mine. I said, my intra-office communication system sucks.
Yeah.
Why can't I just slap an iPad on the wall and get all the information coming through before I walk in the room? And he said, well, let's do it. Because he had a bunch of people on staff that coded. And so we started off, and that's how it got started. It was fun. Just complaining to the right person at the right time. And
And
that lowered the inertia enough for me to actually get it off the ground.
To do it at Opera DDS. Wow, man. That's
amazing. Now I've got freaking six products, and it's taken off in a big way.
Yeah. So like, break it down to us. Like, a lot of people have asked about Opera DDS. What can it all do, but mainly like, what's the itch that it scratches?
Yeah, great question. There's We have three major plans because it scratches three separate itches.
Okay, okay.
Security. And security comes down to secure email, digital case collaboration, secure file storage and transfer, like Lockbox or Dropbox, but we call it Lockbox because it's secure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So security, mm-hmm. online forms that are secure. Profit, which is pager, the intra-office communication piece that we've discussed. And then growth, which is a recall system. So text message, email, postcard reminders. And we also have a product that's unique called Care Text. So you never have to take call again. You know, never have to take call again. You have patients text you from your website, and then you can just text back and forth, and the entire conversation gets put in the patient record.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a unique product to Opera DDS, which we do things very differently. We also, the entire application was designed mobile friendly, so you can do everything from your phone, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's a big deal. We're the first dental application for the Apple Watch because I don't want to have to take my phone out of my pocket to know what happened in the operatory. I just want to just flip my wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also big about not having the patient know what's going on. You know, if there's a ding in the room, which we do dings and lights and that, but personally, I don't want the patient know in that I'm working on that I'm being called somewhere else. Because then they think that you're just not going. You're not concerned with their care anymore.
They're like, the next person. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, that's another example how everything's done from the patient's perspective.
Yeah.
In my office.
Okay. Okay. And then what's been one of the worst strategies, procedures, or tactics you've ever done, and why? You would never do again, and why?
Oh, there's lots of stuff that I've done that I would never do again.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
trying to think.
One of the worst. One of the
worst. Strategies. That's a more complicated question because I'm not a big fan of regretting things because everything's a learning experience.
In the sense like, okay, maybe you don't regret it because you learn from it, but you tell people like, hey man, don't do that. This is why.
Yeah, I think I'd say probably one of the biggest hurdles I had to overcome was the second practice I purchased to merge with mine. I gave the dentist who'd been working for decades and decades mm-hmm. a guarantee in production that he did not meet up to.
Yeah.
And so that left me sort of like kind of cash strapped to grow my business early on. Yeah.
It was a lot of stress.
Yeah, it was a lot of stress.
Like
Yeah. And now, you know, I take out do much bigger things, but I make sure that I look at the downside, right? So protect my downside.
Gotcha. And then so what type of practice do you have?
It's a group practice, meaning that I've got seven associates. We have an orthodontist that comes in. We have a surgeon that comes in. So we've grown from my first office that we had was 800 square feet. I didn't even have a personal office or a break room, and now we're three stories of a building.
What? Three stories? Wow. How many ops?
11 ops. I would add more, but we can't get any more parking, so that's why we're growing to multiple locations now.
What's the name of your practice?
Lake Minnetonka Dental. It's a geographical location that if you're from Minneapolis, you know Lake Minnetonka. If you're not, you're like, why would you name your practice right? Like,
yeah, got you. But it's still good. So how many employees do you have right now?
I don't know, to be honest. It's from the practice side, it's around 35, maybe more. I am far removed from a lot of the operational stuff because I do a lot with technology, and my team is amazing. And I've gotten very – I delegate a lot because I have a lot of people that are smarter than me
that
do a better job doing things than I would.
Yeah.
On the technology side, I work with – several different teams, and I would say I don't even know how that would, because there's about six different products, and a different team working on each product. So all in told, the people that are either working with me directly or indirectly, it's over 100, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, it's really good. And then, so if you can be as specific as you can, total production and collection. Do you know that?
Yeah,
it can be from last month or last year.
Last month, I would say we're probably in the neighborhood of a couple hundred. No, it's more than that. That's one dentist. It's around. It's between $5 and $10 million from a production standpoint. And
last month.
What's that? No, no. Last year. It's probably closer to 10. And collection-wise, we probably have about a 27-28% adjustment, and very little that's not collectible.
Gotcha. Okay, that's still good, though. So how many days are you open?
We're open, well, depends on the week. We are open 7 to 6 Monday through Friday, and then orthodontics on Saturdays.
Okay, wow. So 9 to 5 too, or no? Different hours.
I don't even know. I think it's 7. I don't know, to be honest. I don't want to guess.
What days are you practicing?
I see patients Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 7 to 11. And I travel a lot for other things. So I'm in the building, though, because now we have the technology company in the building, too. So I'm there all the time.
Third story? Second story?
The lowest level. The first story. Yeah. As of now. Like, they're staining the concrete today. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. What's the goal for Opera DDS?
For Opera DDS?
Yeah.
I would say the goal for overall is to elevate the game, right? I think there's a lot of opportunities in dentistry to do things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And like I was mentioning before, do things from the patient perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the freaks that likes change, in particular improvements. And
That's good, though.
I want to basically elevate things as much as possible across the board, including Opera DDS. I mean, I feel like there's a better way to do things.
Yeah, you're right, though. That's good. I like that. Because, I mean, to be honest, if you think about it, like, we're kind of made to change. You know what I mean? Like, stay the same is not.
I mean, lots of dentists, I think, like to practice the same way. So, and I like to say that instead of practicing for 30 years, like the same year 30 times, I want every year to be different than the last. So 30 years of experience, this is 30 years of the same thing. And that's, I mean, if you would have told me that 5 years ago, I would have a communication platform that's in 5,000 offices, I would have told you you're nuts. If you told me a year and a half ago that I would be doing a virtual reality application, I would have told you you're nuts.
You're like, I like that. Yeah.
You know, I think it's fun to do the unknown.
Yeah, it's good, though. It's good. People are scared of that. So it takes a really, I guess, like, unique individual, right? Unique mindset to kind of like just say, look, I'm going to take this risk. I don't know what it's going to bring, but I'm going to do it.
I think some people are wired that way, and I'm one of them. Yeah. And it's can be a curse, particularly to my wife. I couldn't do it any other way.
Yeah.
And that's just the way I'm wired.
That's good. That's good. And so then, how many new patients are you getting monthly?
About 150.
Wow, really, monthly?
Yep.
Wow, that's really fantastic. What are you doing for marketing and advertising?
We do a lot. Again, I don't get too deep in the weeds, but I give the budget to my marketing team, and I basically say three things. If it works, do more of it. If it doesn't work, do less of it.
Yeah.
And try absolutely everything. And so from a marketing perspective, we've done everything from billboards and radio to sponsoring wine things and direct mail and SEO. But everything, what I've come to really realize over time is that even our external efforts we have to have a focus on driving internal referrals. That's really the biggest.
Yeah.
Having a simple, clear message that you reiterate over time. In our practice, it's same day. Well, if you want it done as much whenever humanly possible, we'll get it done same day.
And Opera DDS can help with that, right? Like, in the sense, getting more referrals or like getting text messaging reviews or something like that.
It's key. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole reason why I developed the software platform was just, you know, I didn't come up with software to kind of push on to fill my own need in my practice of supporting the vision of being able to have a well-knit team to be able to provide same-day services. That's exactly why Opera DDS was created.
That's good, man. That's good. You saw your own problem and you like, how do I make a solution for this, and created it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a crazy, I mean, my practice is a crazy place, so if technology will work in my office, it'll work in yours, I can tell you that.
Yeah. How...
how saturated is dentistry in your community?
Boy, I don't view dentistry as competition. You know, I this was going back a while, but I at one point in time, big screen TVs, that industry, which now has dropped, but was four times larger than all of dentistry.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I don't look at dentists as competition. So I don't think dentists are saturated. I think what is saturated is apathy in dentistry. I think if we all work together to educate the population on the value of dentistry, I think there would be, we would all be so much busier than we'd know what to do with.
Yeah.
So I think there's a tremendous amount of disengagement, actively disengaged in dentistry.
Yeah.
And if we work to increase the engagement of our staff and other dentists, there's no shortage of work to do.
I agree. I completely agree. Like, a lot of the times we kind of think like, oh, there's three other dentists down there, that's my comp. But in reality, if like the general population all had $1,000 to spend it on something, would they even spend it on the other dentist? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're probably going to spend it on a new phone, a new iPad, whatever, right? So it's kind of like, how can we build that value so they can spend it on the dentist?
Yeah. We live in a world that more people own cell phones than toothbrushes. It's true, right?
Yeah, I mean,
so
the problem's
not other dentists. I told you I get 150 new patients a month. Mm-hmm. I am in like the moratorium of dentistry in Minnesota. It's a very mature area, no growth, but we get the patients, and it's because of the experience we provide. And I do feel that we do, everybody in the practice values dental care and dentistry and optimized oral health and whatever that means to that patient. And so I think, you know, if that's the perspective, is that you're trying to do your best for patients at whatever level they want to be in the spectrum, there's other dentists aren't an issue.
Gotcha. What's been your best ROI so far?
Best ROI.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual reality.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the amount of new patients I get from...
So how are you marketing that, though? Like, what are you doing for virtual reality?
Well, I've been on the news about 12 times talking about virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I saw a patient in virtual reality, I was on the news because a patient of mine knew that it was coming out. And she's like, oh, I got to get you on the news. And so it's been such a humongous word of mouth referral that and the barrier of entry is very low. You know, when we launched it, we were right across from a bunch of CT scans, and it was kind of enlightening to me because I was like, that piece of equipment costs $150,000. It's fantastic. We use CT imaging in my office. Elevates the quality of care, there's no doubt about it. But from the patient's perspective, which is more important, of $150,000 3D imaging or, you know, couple hundred buck a month virtual reality system that totally transmits their consciousness somewhere else, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it's a big so VR is my answer,
the biggest ROI.
Yep.
What are you doing with it though?
What am I doing with
specifically,
it
specifically? Yeah, so the other dentist
specifically, reducing people's anxiety and pain even more than nitrous oxide.
So like, what are they viewing, what are they watching, or?
So we have a few different experiences. You can go send them to the beach. There's nature scenes. There's cityscapes. We have post-operative instructional videos. We're going to be having like pre-op instructions, so people knowing what people to expect. That's coming.
Wow.
I got inspired by the Delta pre-flight and post-flight. Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's how I came up with that idea. and we're going to be doing a lot with sort of 3D digital kaleidoscopy.
Wow.
Concepts that like will just constantly be changing. And so we have guided meditation coming. There's a bunch of stuff, like people in the industry who are just phenomenal that work in TMJ and stuff that will be developing content for it. So I'm really excited about VR, not just from a marketing perspective, but from a content side. It's a green field. It's open, right? Nobody else is doing it, and we want to be the leader.
So what's been your biggest fail or pitfall so far?
And from a practice side or like?
Both. Yeah, you can get one of each.
So from the practice side, my biggest failure, I would say, is becoming so busy that I don't take the time to have adequate communication with the team, right? So there's been times where we've been on execution mode, and then you take the, some parts of the staff for granted, sort of, and then things kind of slide, and you don't see it till it's lower than you expect, and then that can be a hard tangle to untangle, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes has to require replacing some people. So I think that's probably the biggest in the practice. And from a the technology company side, underestimating how challenging it is to educate dentists on new technology.
It's hard, right?
It's hard. People don't want to do something new. Coming to grips with that, I'm a freak in that I like doing new things, and that other people, it takes a lot of effort and other people jumping on board to kind of.
It gets hard.
To get to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you want to see different in dentistry?
That's a great question. What do I want to see different in dentistry? I want to see much more focus on team, like delivering care from a team perspective.
Okay.
That's what I think is that's the short answer. I mean, I think there's a lot that can be done. I think we work with people in dentistry are extremely intelligent and competent. And I think that we as dentists or as office manager, whoever's the leading and managing other people, need to trust in the people that work for us more.
Yeah.
I think that's key. That's key for the employees to be engaged and to elevate the care.
Yeah.
We have to let them do their thing.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. That's really good. That's really good. And then what's one book you recommend that everybody needs to read?
Traction by Gino Wickman. So there's Traction. There's a bunch of different. Have you read Traction?
No, I never have.
So Traction by Gino Wickman. I say it because I think I bought the wrong book twice. It happens to me all the time. It's like, you got to read this book, and they get it, and it's like about like some football player. Nothing wrong with football players, but it's not what I was looking for. It's basically about organizing your systems, and in particularly meeting structure that allows you to prioritize and tackle your highest priorities in the most complete way in your meetings, rather than just having a meeting be about like whatever. Random stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. And then what's the best piece of advice you ever received that can help my listeners either change their mindset or change their practice in a positive way?
Focus on delegation and do the hard work on the front end. Slow down to be able to allow somebody else to fail safely so that you can be a stronger team.
Gotcha. So where can they find you at?
OperaDDS.com. DigitalNitrous.com is the virtual reality practice. So those are the two big ones.
Opera DDS and Digital Nitrous. And then do you have any social medias?
We do. I'm not huge on social media, but you can always hit me up. I don't even on Facebook. I'm there.
Google me. Yeah.
Google me. Yeah. No, I don't know. If you want to get in touch with me, Brian with a Y, Bryan at OperaDDS.com.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Brian, for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in into that episode. Brian Laskin, thank you so much for taking time at Voices of Dentistry. Everybody, he had his own booth, so I know people were like talking to you, and you know, I saw you doing a bunch of interviews as well. So thank you for taking the time out, man, and answering the questions that I had for you and so much more. Really, really awesome guy. What I liked about this episode is I liked, you know, obviously Opera DDS, how, like I said from the beginning, he had a problem and created a solution. I like how he is one of the first to start this VR journey, virtual reality journey, and how he's marketing it exactly. Because I was a little confused. I'm not going to lie. I was a little confused, and I was like, how do you market VR? How is that like a thing where makes me as a patient say, oh, this dental practice has virtual reality, going to it, signing up? But then when he broke it down, now I get it. Now I see. It's not so much like, hey, it's the newest technology. No, it's more the experience, right? So I thought that was tremendous, really interesting. I'm excited to see virtual reality more in the dental space as well. I thought it's also cool how his platform is in over, you know, obviously 5,000 offices and people are using it. I'm going to try and see if I can get some of those offices on the podcast and talk about Opera DDS a little bit more as well. But Brian, thank you so much for being on this episode. Guys, go let him know that you heard him on the Dental Marketer podcast. Ask him more questions or concerns that you have. You know, if like, hey, man, the strategy you mentioned that was one of the worst strategies, I think I'm doing that. Or maybe you can ask him like, hey, the best ROI that you had, or how do you delegate? Because I can see that he delegates a lot, which is great, because obviously you can see he's grown his business. And I know a lot of dentists out there are also trying to do more than just dentistry, right? Like Brian, for example. I mean, he's doing way more than just, you know, drilling and filling. He has tons of businesses. So obviously a really busy guy doing a lot and following his passion. So I thought that was amazing. Really cool guy. So guys, like I said, go make sure you reach out to him. Let him know you heard him on the Dental Marketer podcast. Be like, hey, man, I heard you on the podcast. What's up? You know, let's talk some more. And go, let's try and push these reviews to 40. Let's try and get to 40 iTunes reviews, please. We're at 36, I believe. So let's keep pushing it to 40. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. With that being said, I'm going to go start packing and getting ready and things like that. So this episode should be uploaded literally like an hour or two. Alrighty. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you guys soon.